This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. It's time now for our weekly visit with CHS. Today we'll hear from Andrew Paluska. Andrew is the grain manager for CHS and works out of their Louder location. We discuss the grain markets and what we can expect to see for 2016 and some changes that have been taking place for the business. Andrew, going to be touching on a couple things today, one of those being a recent change that's taken place with the business, and that was official as of February 1st. So what can you tell us about the change that's happened?
So the change that our customers will see is that we're combining our business units at Louder, Carrollton, and Shipman into one business unit. Probably won't notice many changes from the outside. We'll still have the same people in place here at Louder, myself and Jessica. Down at Carrollton, we have Zach Lancaster and Christy Ford. And at Shipman, you'll still talk to Dennis and Phil down there. So mostly just stuff on the inside that you'll see changes with. That you won't really see, that we'll only see. And from an outside perspective, I think it'll still be business as usual.
Something else we're going to touch on, you being the grain manager, let's talk about grain markets, any trends that we're seeing right now, or what about the future? What can we expect to be seeing for these prices?
The trend is first to touch on corn. Here in the last few days, we've started to get to that level where those March futures are getting in the mid-370s, and that seems to be a point of resistance there. It seems like it's going to have a hard time to get through there. We've tried it a couple times, and every time we do, we kind of bounce back. So I'm interested to see how the market closes today, if we can kind of punch through that level. If we do, I think we could get a little bit of a run, but I'm afraid any type of rally at all is going to be met with quite a bit of producer selling. It seems like the offers are all around that 380 area, so as far as the outlook on the corn futures, I just see us bouncing sideways, and it seems like kind of a broken record we've been talking about for the last few months, that the only upside potential could be some type of weather opportunity this spring. Beans are kind of the same thing. We just seem to bounce around in the same area. We get around that 880 area in the soybeans, and then we have a hard time getting through it. Everybody'd like to have $9 futures. But it's just a hard area to breach, and same thing as the corn. As far as the outlook goes, I don't see much potential with barring some type of weather event. The world stocks and corn on beans both weigh on these futures markets pretty heavily.
Talking with several other people, it's been the same story, but do you think we're going to be seeing these lower prices throughout 2016?
Oh, I'm hopeful that some type of event could happen. You know, usually when you have low prices, eventually they find some type of demand for it. So I'm always hopeful there's something on the horizon today. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I think in the future there could be some possible opportunity. You know, I think you just have to be ready when the time comes, know what your targets are for your new corn and your old corn, and be ready to pull the trigger, because it could be similar to 2015. Those opportunities aren't there very long, so when the time does come, be ready to make those sales.
Any other advice possibly for farmers as far as marketing their grain? Just be watching the markets and paying attention, I'm assuming.
Yes, I think another thing you have to keep an eye on is especially everybody who has a draw to the St. Louis market, is this basis. The corn demand hasn't been real great, so I think if we ever do get a run-up in the board, I'm afraid as much as we're going to go up in the board, we could lose it in the basis. So something that a lot of popular producers have been doing basis contracts, and I think that's a good idea, because just if this board does run up, I think there's a lot of corn out there, and a lot of it will try to move, and we may gain a dime on the board, but we could lose all that in the basis. And beans, the same scenario. We've already probably come off 20 cents off the high on the basis on the bean, and I think if we get some more movement, there could be further downside potential. So might be a good idea to lock in some basis levels, pour some bins, and just get some corn moving so you're not completely open to the basis and the board if some type of rally does occur.
If listeners or farmers would like some more information about markets or any other topics, what's the best way to contact you or anyone else at CHS?
So contact me here at Louder. My number is 217-435-9023. if you're that in that shipment area, go ahead and get a hold of Dennis or Phil down there. If you're towards that Carrollton area, get a hold of Christy or Zach. But it doesn't matter which office you call. We can all give you a bid to any of the St. Louis locations and the rail loaders up here to the north here at Louder and to the processors to the east. So if any of your needs to sell any of your grain, we're certainly available.
Andrew Paluska, grain manager for CHS. We'll be back with more after these messages. A House Agriculture Subcommittee heard testimony on Tuesday on the benefits of building relationships with consumers through direct marketing. An increase in direct marketing by farmers and ranchers sparked this week's Subcommittee on Biotechnology, Horticulture, and Research hearing. Committee members held the hearing to examine opportunities and challenges farmers and ranchers face by direct marketing. Chaired by Illinois Representative Rodney Davis, the subcommittee found farmers and ranchers are able to have an open and honest dialogue with consumers about where their food comes from through direct marketing. USDA statistics show in 2012, more than 140,000 farms sold $1.3 billion worth of fresh agriculture products directly to consumers. Davis says the committee found through testimony that in direct dialogues, farmers are better able to build consumer trust and confidence in today's food systems. One of those testimonies was given by Andrew Heck of Springfield, Illinois. Andrew is a farmer and currently serves as a garden educator for the Generation Healthy Kids Coalition. Syngenta is inching closer to announcing a $43 billion takeover agreement with ChemChina, according to Bloomberg. ChemChina reportedly offered a sweeter deal to Syngenta than Monsanto by offering the $43 billion in cash. Monsanto offered a similar $43 billion takeover in August, but the proposal included cash and a portion of its own shares. Syngenta rejected Monsanto's repeated attempt at the displeasure of Syngenta's shareholders. However, perhaps now, the strategy paid off. Monsanto's shares have slumped about 13% since the beginning of August amid a slump in commodities. ChemChina is guaranteeing a higher price than the stock ever reached on its own or is likely to reach anytime soon. Bloomberg reported the Chinese government is likely more than willing to pay cash for the deal, given the country's interest in becoming more agriculturally self-sufficient. However, the involvement of state entities could raise issues for U.S. antitrust regulators, as agriculture can be considered a national security interest. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.